This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Junks, coming live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today.
I cannot defeat this one email that I get over and over. I hit unsubscribe all the time. It's from something called Smart Asset Smart Advisor.
Can't you
buy this coin now? Unsubscribe, and it's going to keep coming and keep coming.
Is that on?
Unsubscribe from all.
Is there any way you can block it?
I don't know.
Is that the same as unsubscribe? I don't know.
No,
I don't even know.
I can't stop these stupid coin emails.
I get Coinbase emails all the time.
Well, they're all phishing scams.
I get them all the time.
But if you look at the email address, it's like XYZZ.
Did you see Loudoun County Sheriff found some sort of scam where they scammed people out of $1.4 million?
No.
So, yeah.
Bitcoin?
Like crypto scams.
Yeah, it's awful.
Specific to Loudoun County.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, all those idiots. Ashburn.
I'm still getting like 50 political texts a day. I'm literally being harassed. I want to sue.
I get multiple.
I'm not kidding.
I get multiple emails.
Who would you sue though?
I don't know if it's Coinbase. I think I have to sue the party.
I didn't sue everybody. I didn't donate any money to any politician. Okay. I'll get a stupid email with Elon's stupid ass name on it every day. And I hit unsubscribe and
Elon.
I can't.
I think you can filter so you block all Elon if the word Elon is in there. I think you can do that.
Well, I don't know how to do it. I just know unsubscribe, it's just not working very well.
Yeah. No, it doesn't do jack.
Remember wasn't there a period of time where there was a do not call list?
Yes.
Did that thing work out?
I have no idea.
I get calls all the time for like some sort of wackadoo tax thing.
Yeah, but can't they, even if you block that particular number, can't they just call you from a different number?
I think that's what's happening on these emails.
Yeah.
Because the smart asset advisor gets through every day.
Look at this. These are all my blocked messages recent. Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is insanity.
Dude, I've already hit unsubscribe 15 times today.
I
do it every morning because I don't want to give up.
I'm literally being harassed.
But we all are. Is there a way to defeat the smart asset advisor and these stupid Coinbase emails we get? 800-636-1067. Or EV's political ads.
These are text messages.
Because if you subscribe and then you hit unsubscribe, that should end it.
Well, generally you think it would.
It
but I get them over and over and over again.
You have to make sure you're not just like unsubscribing from that list. Like there's sometimes you have to unsubscribe from all.
I just told you that I hit unsubscribe from all.
You know what? Yeah. Email is very overrated.
Very overrated. I barely mess with email. But text, you can't get away from.
I think I have hostility towards email.
I just got an email.
I'm losing the battle.
How about this? I just got an email for the Pitt Day of Giving. My son didn't even apply to Pitt. How am I getting a Pitt Day of Giving?
I have no idea.
You must have some connection.
I don't know. I I had to go to Columbia for a volleyball game. Now I get from University of Columbia, I get all their athletic emails.
Yeah.
Privacy. Just for standing on the campus?
I had to pay a ticket price or whatever to go to the game.
I get Vanderbilt emails all the time.
Did you go to a Vanderbilt baseball game?
No, I went to the Tech Vanderbilt game.
Yeah, pretty fun. Losing
lost
to Vandy
week one.
Look,
I got hooked.
Yeah.
Because someone from Vanderbilt or someone who went to Vanderbilt gave me the tickets.
Right.
So I was on their website. I get Vanderbilt stuff all the time.
Jason, what did I just put for? It says, let us know why you're unsubscribing to Pitt.
What was your response?
Because your basketball team
sucks. Can you read what I wrote? Yeah.
Not Seist.
That was your response.
What are they going to do with that?
Who's this idiot?
I got a slight smile from Jason.
I mean, it was all right. But you're always going to get those.
No, I honestly.
But my kid didn't apply to Pitt.
No, you're in their ecosystem somehow.
You must have had some connection that you're just
maybe
forgetting.
You went to a Maryland game that played Pitt or something. I don't know.
I don't even give money to Maryland.
I have 8,000 emails in my Odyssey email, and I think I have 80,000 in my Yahoo email. I've lost the battle. I am waving the white flag.
I think also one time I saw. Do you have like 6,000 text messages too?
No,
or something?
I've tidied that up. I think it's down to, I can tell you.
What do you have on that? Like, how do you know
active,
when you get...
You mean active messages?
Yeah, like, how do you know when you get...
I have 7 unread messages.
Okay, so you do know that. But like, now, you look at the top of your phone is a disaster.
Yeah, like, there's a million.
I think you're thinking about
look at all these.
How do you survive like that?
I just said clear.
I wouldn't laugh or smile anymore.
Then it's gone forever. It's poof, gone in the ether. Yeah. I said clear.
Yeah.
I get Facebook notifications.
You know what?
I don't even go on Facebook.
We do need to get rid of our phones.
Yeah.
They're causing stress.
They're destroying our lives.
No, that I'm telling you, I'd like to talk to a can I talk to a district attorney or something? Or who do you talk to?
I don't know who you...
I need to reach out
to your congressman?
I need to sue.
I don't know who your congressman is.
Or police. Can I talk to the police?
Call Chief Davis.
You're being harassed by the left?
No, it's actually by the right.
Being harassed by the right?
Yeah, because I paid to chase ballots. And now I'm being... They send me everything. Everything from everybody. Anybody with any Republican. I don't care about any of them. And even if I did care about them, I don't want 50 text messages a day. I want zero.
Right.
Zero. Zero.
You won't go to Capitol Hill after the show today.
I feel
like
I should.
Down the street.
Someone invite me to testify in front of Congress.
I would pay to see that.
I want to testify in front of Congress. And
that
say,
would make Jason laugh.
Respond to them and just say you're going to vote for Gavin Newsom in 4 years.
No.
And they will stop
emailing
you.
It's all bots. Yeah, it's all bots.
Not humans.
I get it.
And the phone numbers are...
I know that, Richard.
The phone numbers are all like 736-9-10-2. They're not even real numbers.
It's not making Jason laugh. It's making me laugh because I look at it every day. Jason's foam coming out of his noise-canceling headphones he's had for 20 years.
Yeah.
Look at those beaters.
You already have new ones.
Jason,
why don't you break out the new
ones? It's time.
Because these are better than the...
I mean, it's
these
time.
Actually sound better than the older ones.
Look at those beaters. It's time for a new pair.
I got a whole new pair right here.
That pair's been sitting there for years.
It's time. Why? What are you saving? Are you saving them for the year 2040?
Yeah, we're fired.
What are you doing?
Just like
save
my old
money.
Just like,
he didn't. You think he paid for those?
These are brand new. Yeah. These are pretty much brand new.
Let me see. Hold on. Why don't you use those sillies?
Because these still work. They work. They
why don't
do.
You use
I mean,
those
I know the phone's
home.
Coming up, but
why
it's
don't
still
you use those at home or something.
Just like my old computer. This computer is 42 years old, but I still use it. It's got a cracked screen.
Still got the bulldog clip.
All right, let's go. Let me see here.
When these stop working, okay, when I plug it in, I turn the on switch on, and it stops working, then I'll go to this. All
right. No, Jason, had you been checking your email, because now Cakes made me check my Odyssey email. Mm-hmm. I only have 80. You could have gotten free Joe Coy tickets at Cap One Arena. Could have laughed then.
Joe Coy? I don't know. No idea who Joe Coy is.
That's the comedian we talked
Joe
about.
Coy is.
The Asian comedian.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
All right, hold on.
Missed that one.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Kensington. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kevin.
EB, I met you and JP with the Bauman Brothers a while back.
Oh, okay,
I'm in that industry when I know guys that use Smart Asset. I don't because I've had a bad experience with them. But you've specifically got to tell them to add your name to the Do Not Contact list.
Hold on. What is that? I don't even know what
it's called. That's the email that I keep getting from Smart Asset Advisor or something like that.
All right, hold on. But I'm getting text messages.
Yeah, so text messages is a little bit of a different story. But if you know who is sending you the text messages, you can also have them add you to the Do Not Contact list.
I don't really know.
Does that work?
It does work. It's supposed to be legally binding. They're supposed to have to shut down your contact and not keep contacting you. It's a pain in the ass to have to follow through on it, but it's supposed to work. Back in the day when I started in the industry, you had to cold call, and there was a do not call list. And if you called somebody, you got the wrong, you know, old Karen that was really pissed off, they could track you down and get you in big trouble. So it's supposed to work, but, you know, it doesn't always work. But that's at least you can do. The other thing is when you hit that unsubscribe, then they verify that you have an actual email address that's working. So sometimes that can work against you.
So if you block the number, if he's getting a text and he blocks one of the numbers,
it doesn't matter.
It just comes from a different number?
Yeah, it's a robo. You can see. It's a infinity it's like numbers.
I mean, so it's impossible to do.
It's impossible to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, you got to just find out what organization is sending you that. And then
I think it's the freaking Republican Party.
It might be.
What do you mean, white man? Of course it is.
It's Elon.
Of course it is. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
You're going to need it.
Has anybody done their Block 2 compliance?
I have.
I'm waiting until I get a threat.
Some of my compliance videos, they're stacking up. I need to get on that. It's been a while since I've seen all the bad actors that are acting in the compliance videos.
Somebody said, Michelle's saying, am I replying stop? I don't think I am. Should I do that? Should I try that?
Yeah, I've done that too.
Is that not doing anything?
I think try it with your text.
I mean, because, you know, it's harassment.
You know what you're getting? Nolan Richardson, 40 minutes of hell on your phone.
24 hours a day.
They're relentless.
24 hours a day. Now, it kind of stops at night.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, it's just all
day. Back at it.
All day. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you sit there and you go, you just check your phone. Oh, there's a new
text. Right now,
I wonder if that's my son. I wonder if that's my daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's freaking something about Elon or something or, you know, whatever. Who cares?
During the show, you're probably getting them tons of them.
I just get them throughout the day.
Yeah.
They never end. It's literal harassment. It makes me want to just
bother
get
you.
A whole new number.
Just delete. I mean, that's all you can do. Because they're always going to keep coming. Just keep deleting.
It's never going to stop.
I know.
It might take the joy out of my life.
You might stop laughing.
Might stop laughing.
You don't look very joyful right now.
Because I get so
bitter.
Maybe
that's what it was.
I get so bitter, you don't understand. It really irks me.
No, I can tell.
Drives you crazy.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we'll get into the Commanders. We'll take you through a hypothetical trade proposal that would bring Tyreek Hill from the Dolphins to the Washington Commanders. We'll discuss that next on The Fan. All right, I need you guys to put on your GM hats for the Commanders. Would you execute this trade that's been proposed by Bleacher Report to bring in Tyreek Hill? In this trade proposal, Miami would get a 2025 second rounder, a 2025 fifth rounder, and a 2026 third round pick from Washington.
Yes.
In return.
You're not giving up a first rounder?
I haven't even given you the full trade pack.
Yeah, but you just didn't even give up a first rounder and you gave me Tyreek Hill?
You get Tyreek Hill, a 2025 seventh, and a 2026 fifth rounder in return.
Yes. Yeah, he still would do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does Tyreek Hill want a new contract?
I'm sure.
Is that why he's been bitching about getting out of Miami?
I'm sure he would like an extension tacked on to whatever he's making at this point. I think he's making 28 or 30 million already.
It's pretty close to that.
Something in that range.
I think he was just in his feels in the moment because he's been a big advocate of Tua.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found it strange that he says he wants out of Miami kind of right after the season. And he didn't go on the field right in that last game. There was a part of the game where he didn't go back on the field.
Right.
And his teammates were like, what's up?
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not going back in.
Like Jalen Waddle.
So he was unhappy, but I think,
like, what's doing here?
Yeah. I think it's probably killing him too that he left the Chiefs and all they're doing is winning Super Bowls or getting to Super Bowls without him. And he wants to compete in the playoffs.
Well, he wanted to make a bunch of money.
My only question mark on him, I mean, one, he's not a good character guy. Like, that's that'd be kind of weird bringing him into the Dan Quinn locker room. Like, how would that work, first and foremost? And second, his numbers took a huge dip last year. Now, I don't know if that was all on him. I think it was more the fact that McDaniel wanted more of the quick passing game, getting Achan and Jonnu Smith involved to keep Tua upright. Like, he just didn't target Tyreek Hill the way he'd been targeted in the past. His targets went from 170 and 171 to 123 last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his numbers took a big dip. And he's 31 years old.
Yeah,
that would give me a little bit of pause.
How many games did he play? How many games?
He played in 17 games. He only had 81 catches last year. He came off consecutive 119 catch performances in 2022 and 2023.
Well, another reason is Tua also had the concussion issue.
Right.
So he didn't play the entire year. Mm-hmm. So if Tua's playing the entire year, he's probably getting more targets.
Then you add in, I saw in another report that he plans to retire after the 2026 season. Now, who knows if that's legitimate or not, but you'd only be getting him, if he's true to his word, you'd only be getting him for two seasons.
You remember what he said he wanted his next career to be, right?
Porn star?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I don't know why I knew that.
Does he have 2 years left on his deal?
I'd have to look up on SpotTrack. I don't know that.
Yeah. How many kids does Tyreek
have? He's got 10 or 11.
He's got a ton.
If he retires in 2 years and he could still make another 15, 20 million a year, whatever he's making, he should keep playing.
According to this, it says, with the recent arrival of his daughter, Tyreek has at least 10 children, though only 8 are confirmed.
At least 10.
I think he had like 5 of them in like a 6-month span.
He might want to play till he's 40. And I'm not even doing it. Like, he should play as long as you can.
But he's little. Like, I think he could. Like, you know, I just feel like he's going to have speed
forever.
For years.
Yeah, I would agree.
He's going to be
that.
Like Darryl Green.
But at some point, he's going to get dialed back.
Like, I can't imagine.
Him dialing back could be like still elite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine he'll be out of the league in 2 years. He wants a new contract extension.
So where's this article that's kind of
suggesting? This is from Bleacher Report. It's just a Bleacher Report
what is their
suggestion.
They're just saying the Commanders should be in the
market.
Yeah,
they're basically saying, look, you need to add another deep threat to Terry McLaurin. Would really help Jaden Daniels as far as going from an MVP candidate to a guy that could win the award if he had that sort of skill on offense.
You mentioned that he was very supportive of Tua. Did he, and I know he was supportive of Tua kind of in relation to Mahomes, kind of pumping up, but he wasn't really knocking Mahomes. Is he known for like knocking other quarterbacks that he's played with?
I haven't heard that.
Has he been a pain in the ass like a Stephon Diggs? I don't think so.
Not that I've heard.
I mean,
he obviously has
off the field issues that, you know, dating back to like college or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he was a quarterback basher. Like I said, I thought he was an advocate of Tua.
I think I'm reading here,
and I thought this was the case. He even said that his initial comments were about. Missing the playoffs. He was frustrated that the team missed the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he wants to be back in Miami.
That's what he says.
Yes, the numbers went down this year, but him and Waddle together, it's a pretty damn good combination.
But if they were able to, just speak hypothetically.
Yeah, I would do it if I was Washington. He's a game-changing type player.
Who would you rather have, Diggs or Hill? Hill.
Hill.
I'd rather have Hill.
Hill.
I'd rather have Hill. Well, maybe, like, everybody's all about T. Higgins. Maybe I would take T. Higgins because he's younger. But Hill's more dynamic than pretty much every other receiver in the NFL except for Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
If you could guarantee that he had a year like 2022 or 2023, of course you would take him. He had 119 grabs in 2022 for 1,700 yards, 7 touchdowns. The next year, almost identical numbers, 13 touchdowns. His touchdowns plummeted to 6 this past year, but
sometimes
still,
that's random. Like, I would take his 81 catches.
Where,
I would take his 81 catches.
Like, that would rank 3rd on the Commanders this year, right? Behind McLaurin, Ertz, and then Hill with 6.
How many
6.
Did Ertz have?
He had like 7, I think.
Yeah. I would just take his 81 catches.
Oh, that would be huge.
I mean,
massive.
Now
and any one of those could go to the house.
His average went down, too. His average in those two bomb years was 14.4 and 15.1, and last year was 11.8. So that took a pretty precipitous dip.
Yeah, but that could be an outlier. That could just be the way they used him. I don't think that's because of him.
For his career, he averages almost 14 yards per catch.
Yeah. Like, He's just an automatic
first
down.
Well, he would be a huge weapon, but I just don't see it. I think he'll stay in Miami. Maybe he wants another 2 years on his deal. I mean, just can't imagine Miami getting rid of him.
Although I do remember seeing that presser or whatever when he was talking that way. And it didn't seem like it was a contract negotiation. Like, it seemed like
he was frustrated.
It was frustration.
Yeah, but I think he also wants an extension. He's got his deals up in 2 years.
Yeah, but he said he's going to retire.
He ain't retiring. He's got 500 kids.
I know. It would be stupid.
He's going to play until those wheels fall off. Or he should.
He should.
Better sock away a lot of that money.
He definitely should. I don't know, man. Keim, like I told you in the first segment of the show, Keim kind of convinced me that he didn't see, like, big flash moves in the offseason, even though the Skins have all this cap room.
Yeah.
That they were going to be more sort of under the radar, Tyler Biadasz, Frankie Luvu, Dante Fowler type moves, signings. I mean, did they even make any trade? Like, what trades did they? I guess for Lattimore.
Lattimore was
a
trade.
And that one, I think, was a big splashy deal. Kind of move that hasn't really worked out.
That was a big deal.
I'd say that was a big one.
Because he's a big name.
Yeah.
I still think they're going to go after somebody. I don't know if it's going to be free agent or making a trade. I just feel like they're going to go after
somebody. You think they're going to go for like a marquee prime of his career type of guy? Like a Miles Garrett type.
I think you're just giving up a ton for Garrett. But, yeah, let's just say, for an example, they're going to go after someone who can make
Miles
immediate
Garrett,
impact.
T. Higgins, immediate Tyreek. Impact. You think one of those guys.
Well,
an A-lister.
I don't think it's
going to
be
him. You think they're going for an A-lister in the prime of his career?
Yeah. Just my gut.
They made over 20 moves last year. The roster overhaul was incredible last season.
But I think they have.
But it also could be a Cooper Kupp who's not in the prime of his career. I'm just saying, like, a bigger name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what's the purpose of getting a name? Who cares?
Well, I mean, name that we know because
they got to produce.
Yeah, because they put up numbers.
Yeah. They don't care about the name. They just want production.
I'd look out for Christian Kirk. I think he's going to be a salary cap cut in Jacksonville. They've got a new, like, young GM in charge there they just introduced in the last couple days. And I think he's slated to make 17 or $18 million this upcoming season.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to pay that. And while he was with Kingsbury back in Arizona, he had two seasons where he had 107 targets in one and 103 targets in another. So, I mean, that could be a guy they get on the cheap that you add to the offense along with Terry McLaurin. Maybe you re-sign De'Ami Brown. Maybe it's not as splashy of a name. Maybe it's a guy like Christian Kirk gets added to the mix.
I keep talking about receiver. What if they go out and pick up one of these running backs that's available?
Like who? Give me a name.
All right, your top five running backs.
I'll tell you if I'm interested.
According to this article,
okay,
which was in, let's see, CBS Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Rico Dowdle.
I'll give him a ding because he's kind of intriguing. Like he's got the dual threat from the running back skill set, can catch some balls, can be like a hammer type as well.
He ran for over 1,000 yards last year.
Wouldn't be super expensive. I'm kind of intrigued. And he's young. I'm kind of intrigued by him.
Who else?
Number two on their list, Aaron Jones. Bigger name, a little older.
Yeah, but he's a stud.
He is a stud, but
he's probably going to cost you some money.
He's probably on the wrong side of 30 at this point, or right at 30. I'm going to give him a buzz.
What about Najee Harris?
Here's the thing about Aaron Jones. He was on the Vikings last year.
Mm-hmm.
First six games of the year, he averaged 5.2 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Slowed down the final 11, only 4.1 yards per carry, which I'm guessing still better than what you got from Brian Robinson last year. Najee Harris is number three on the list, Jason. You mentioned him.
How old's he?
He's run for 1,000 yards 30? In each of his last four seasons. I don't think he's that old.
He's probably 27 or 28.
Yeah. Just seems like he's 30 because he's been around forever. And get so many
26.
I think the buzz on
Najee Harris was only 26.
I think the buzz on him is potentially going to Chicago and working in the Ben Johnson offense.
Number four is J.K. Dobbins. A lot of injuries here.
Good story.
Baltimore.
Injury prone.
Good player is when he's healthy, but he's always hurt. Yeah, it's true.
I'm going to give him a buzz.
Number five, do you get a Chubb for Nick Chubb?
No. Nah. I mean, Drab could run faster than Nick Chubb right now, so I'm going to say no.
Well, he's also had injuries, torn MCL in 2023, broken foot in 2024.
Well, he had a...
No, thank you.
He had a severe injury.
Right. He's had multiple severe injuries.
I thought he was going to be much better this year, and he wasn't.
And I think that's your drop-off, because then you're talking about Javonte Williams and names like that.
No.
Honestly, I'm not interested in any of those names you mentioned.
So, were they going to run back Brian Robinson as their top
runner?
Are they going to draft somebody?
No.
I mean, there's only so many draft choices
would consider.
Yeah, they could.
If Ashton Jeanty falls like past 18 or 20, with the Commanders sitting at 29, if I'm Adam Peters, I would start calling those teams in the 21
you
to
think
24
he's
range.
He's that good. He's a difference
maker. I mean, he's super explosive, and you put him in the backfield with Jaden Daniels, I think would be a nice cocktail.
He's just really small.
I know, but he's a tank.
I saw one of the mocks him going top 10.
Yeah,
so
He'll be the first RB off the board.
He'll probably go like top 12 or top 13. So it's probably a pipe dream. But if he slips down the board and I'm Adam Peters, I would consider.
How about the RB from Ohio State?
Yeah, Henderson.
I mean,
he can run. Maybe he's really good.
I don't know if he'll fall into the second round.
I don't know. We keep thinking about wide receiver, but the more I thought about it is they need to upgrade running back too. I mean, before the season, we talked about all the holes this team had, and Adam Peters, it was going to take a long time to get there. And I do think, even though they had this fantastic year and they go 12-5 and made the NFC Championship game, you see the talent difference between the Eagles and the Washington Commanders. They just don't have that many frontline players. Now, you got Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and a couple others that you can say are really good players, but for the most part, they need to upgrade everywhere.
Yeah, but again, I feel like we're having an uneducated conversation.
Because?
I feel like we sound dumb.
Because?
Because we scored 29 points a game on offense. And all we ever talk about is what offensive players. What held this team back? Their defense.
Yeah.
That needs to be the
focus. Well, we've talked about that, too.
We know he's going to address that.
But that needs to be the focus. Not just addressed, like, casually. That should be the top of the draft.
I think you're right. I think they have to certainly address the defensive line. And the secondary.
Every layer.
Yeah.
Every layer.
And look, Bobby Wagner's a free agent. He's probably not coming back.
Oh, that probably is coming back.
Why?
Because somebody had him like as the 20th best player in the NFL or something. It was crazy.
PFF had
So other teams would be interested.
There will be a market for him.
There's just going to be, but I would agree, they need to fill some holes.
I feel like
on the
we need to
side.
Focus way
but,
more
but,
than
but, bro. They have two receivers under contract. They have to go out and get receivers.
They also have like 34 free agents.
They got a lot of free agents.
Yeah. So, and they're going to resign a lot of them.
But we have talked about defense.
I don't know about a lot.
We've talked about should they pluck these guys from the Eagles like Josh Sweat or Zach Bond, or Cakes is a fan
know,
of
a little bit. But
Myron
we're focusing
Williams,
on
right?
the draft, all offense.
Or Milton Williams.
Milton Williams, yeah.
They've established
a baseline with their offense, 28 points. You can't go back. You got to either hit 28 or
I think
more.
They'll get better because the quarterback's going to get better.
You can't just stay stagnant with the guys you have.
Okay, I'm not trying to say stay stagnant, but you're not going to get any better if you don't fix that defense.
Understood.
That's a bigger priority than the offense.
But you have to add talent to the offense.
I would love to be in that room, that war room.
It would be great.
When those guys are talking about what players they're targeting, drafts, free agents, trades. I would love it.
Let's use our connections. Let's weasel our way into the war room. How can we make that happen?
Finley's got to hook us.
All right. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Barry Zwerluga, Washington Post columnist. He'll join us next here on The Fan. Coming up an hour from now at 9:45, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Dierks Bentley Broken Branches Tour when it comes to Jiffy Lube Live this summer. So keep listening for your chance to win. Shortly, we'll be joined by Barry Zwerluga from the Washington Post.
Barry Zwer.
We'll talk Caps, Nats, and more with him. Caps back in action on home ice tonight. They host the Calgary John Paul Flames at Capital One Arena.
All eyes on Ovi.
Yes, Ovi.
But the team is
882 goals.
And the team is just playing so well.
Yeah.
It's just who do we have? Do we have Carbs tomorrow? I thought he was on Tuesday.
He's usually Wednesday, he should be on tomorrow. Right. So joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Barry Zwerluga, Washington Post columnist. Hello, Barry. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Barry.
So the Caps come out of the Four Nations face-off break just on fire. 15 goals in two games. Ovi with the hat trick in the most recent game against the Oilers. I wanted to go back and see what some of the pundits were talking about and saying about this team before the season. So I pulled up the ESPN power rankings before the season started. They had the Caps ranked 20th in the NHL. They couldn't have been more wrong. And, you know, we're the benefactors. We're getting to see Ovi chase the Gretzky record. They have the best record in the NHL. They went from scoring the least points in the NHL or the least goals last year to the most this season. I mean, what a turnaround. This is not just the Ovi breaking Gretzky's record victory lap. This is a team that hopefully is going to make a deep run in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's insane, actually, the visceral turnaround, the turnaround in the standings. If you remember last year, through 43 games, Ovi had 8 goals, mm-hmm. and they were out of the playoff picture. And it just felt like if the record was going to come, it was going to be a slog, and it was going to be on a team that was like kind of scrapping to get the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And it just didn't really feel joyful. And then not only did Ovi pick up the pace over the second half of the season and really carry them, scratch them into the playoffs, on the last night of the regular season, only to get just kind of blown out by the Rangers sweep in 4 games. But, you know, Brian McClellan, when he was still the GM and hadn't been bumped up to president of hockey operations, and Chris Patrick, who is now the GM, and their front office, like, they went about this in a very methodical, analytical, progressive way and said, here are the boxes we need to check. And in the offseason, they checked all of them in really creative ways. They needed a number two center who might even be their number one center in Pierre-Luc Dubois mm-hmm. to replace Evgeny Kuznetsov, who just they needed to blow to the moon, and they finally did last year when they cut him and eventually traded him to Carolina.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt you here, Barry. Like, yeah. The pickup of Luc Dubois was not popular because he had a huge contract. And he had been kind of like toxic in his last couple locker rooms. So a lot of eyebrows were raised with that pickup, but it's been a big one.
And, you know, Cake, you're right. But I was told that, you know, so he signed the big deal with L.A. Mm-hmm. the previous offseason, and it didn't work out. And the Capitals' assessment of that was, one, we would have signed him to that deal at that time. We thought he was that good. Two, he signed with the team that didn't have a proper role for him, that he really was going to be the third center in L.A., where here, those minutes, and now he's in position where he's asking to take on the top centerman from the other team. So take Sunday as an example. Like, he wanted to be matched up against Connor Panic coming off of all the heroics in the Four Nations faceoff. He held McDavid without a shot mm-hmm. on Sunday in the blowout. So that's been a brilliant pickup. All of their moves, Matt Roy as a defenseman in a free agent deal, Jacob Chychrun obviously as an offensive-minded defenseman who has 17 goals and is just full to get him locked up because he's a free agent after this year. They got him in a trade. It's just been amazing that they executed this plan. And if you cast it against the team they played on Saturday in Pittsburgh, it looks like Sidney Crosby, the other defining player in the NHL from this era, is going to be the one who is dragged to the finish line with a roster that can't really compete, that is getting blown out by Ovi and the Caps, a game in which the Caps scored 8 goals and Ovi didn't even need one. It's just a remarkable turnaround, and to have the two storylines of the record chase and the best record in the sport kind of married up, like that just was not on my bingo card at all in October.
Don't you think Carbs is coach of the year?
It's crazy how good he is.
Yeah, he's really
and
good.
I think I don't know, Jason, the lay of the land in the NHL like I might in baseball enough, like who else is doing a really good job. Dean Evason in Columbus is, if they get into the playoffs, there's a lot of sentiment for him because they just don't have the roster and the circumstances are different there. But you guys have Carberry on every week. Like, he's just so sharp and he considers things and he talks about not just the team, which is obviously the most important part, but he talks about developing guys in their own careers so that the team can benefit. I mean, Alexei Protas had 3 goals last year. He has 23 this year. That's player development. Connor McMichael is a different player than he was last year. That's player development. I just think he is so sharp at pushing all the right buttons. He's got an edge to him. So he's not just a pushover players coach, but he's positive in that development. And it's just been, to me, a home run hire.
All right, let's flip it real quick to the Nats. Not that it means a lot, but the Nats have come out in spring training and pounded the ball in the first 2 games. You can't put a lot of stock into that, I get it. But I've just been reading a lot of stuff about the top of the lineup, you know, projected lineup with Abrams, Cruz, and James Wood. Now, James Wood hadn't played yet. He's battling some tendonitis. I think he's going to go later in the week. But what I'm reading, a lot of people expect big numbers from these 3 guys combined, especially with Dylan Cruz, because, you know, it's not a playoff team, but that's what, you know, Rizzo is relying on, these top 3 guys, Abrams, Cruz, and Wood. Your thoughts on the top of the lineup, especially with Cruz, and what kind of numbers do you think he can put up?
Well, I mean, start with Cruz. Like, I actually think that expectations should be tamped down there. Like, for me, was Cruz a home run pick at number 2 after Beans in that 2023 draft? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was just the unmistakable college player of the year at LSU, hit like 450, whatever. Like that you take that guy. But he is, to me, a higher floor guy, not a higher ceiling guy. Like the bottom, the worst case scenario for him is like very, very solid major league starting outfielder, center fielder, if he ends up there, right fielder, where he's going to play this year, wherever he ends up. I just don't think he's like, you know, he's like a 900 OPS guy. Like he's not going to, I don't think he's a 30 homer guy. If he comes out and he hits you 25 doubles this year and, you know, hits 270 with a 770 OPS, like I think that's a very solid expectation for him. The guy I think is most important in that equation, and this is not to minimize James Wood, because yeah, I think he is the high ceiling guy. But to me, the rebuild does not work, or the rebuild takes a huge step back if C.J. Abrams isn't the player that he was in the first half last year, and he's the player that he was in the second half when his numbers trailed off. But more than that, you know, they basically kicked him off the team the last week of the season,
right,
because he showed up late. Like, he has to be a professional. He has to be the shortstop. He has to be a dynamic guy that steals you 30 bags, hits you 20-something home runs, scores, you know, when the offense is good, 100 runs. Like, to me, if you had to rank in importance this year in 2025, who's the most important player to get production from? It's C.J. Abrams, because he's further along in his career, and he has to establish himself as a pillar for this franchise, not what he was at the end of last season.
You wrote an article a couple weeks ago about the Nats and not being for sale anymore and their off season, et cetera. Are you sort of buying what they're selling, that they're doing everything in their power to upgrade the roster, is, you know, under certain, you know, budgetary parameters that are reasonable?
No. No.
Okay.
I mean, I think their offseason was ridiculous.
Like, okay.
They are. Mark Lerner spoke to me in West Palm. He had not spoken to and taken questions from a reporter in any substance way in literally years. And he wanted to outline, look, we're all in going forward. We're not selling the team. My answer to that is, like, if somebody came with an offer that, you know, was the price that they originally had in mind, I believe the team would be back on the market in 1 second. He didn't say that, so take him at his word. But when I asked, look, you've spent money on players in the past, obviously Jason Worth started it in 2011, $126 million for 7 years. Max Scherzer was the big one, maybe the best free agent contract in baseball history. You've done that in the past. Will you do it in the future? His answer was, if Mike in the front office bring me a deal that they think would help the team, we'll talk about it. That he did not say, we'll do it. And, I, you know, they're competing in a division where the Phillies and the Mets are going to spend whatever it takes to put their rosters together. I just don't know how you can expect to compete without some sort of major additions. Like, even if all the prospects work out and they get, you know, Cruz is a star, Abrams is a star, Wood is a star, Gore's a frontline starting pitcher, you've got to supplement with established major league players like they always have in the past. I'm not 100% convinced that they will do it in the future. And if and when that doesn't happen again, you know, I think that's kind of malpractice if they don't go and try to compete financially like they have when they had that run of competitive teams from 2012 to 2019.
Barry, that being said, I'm going to play over 70.5 wins this year. Thoughts?
I think that's right. I mean, they're back-to-back 71 and 91 the past 2 years, and they're probably better. And the way to judge, Jason, whether they're better, I think, is not like whether Nathaniel Lowe like hits 25 homers or whether Paul DeJong is like a good pickup at third base and gives you a little pop. It's do those guys that we've talked about develop into the obvious core. And if they collectively take a step forward, then yeah, I think that over 70.5 is the right play. I don't think they're an 81-81 team. Like, I think they're probably 75, 76 wins.
Yep.
But you know, concentrate on Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin and even Jacob Young. And Keibert Ruiz has to be better. Like, those guys are the guys to watch. And if they improve, the team will improve. And then you'll have a little bit of hope for 2026 and reason to put pressure on ownership to go out and spend.
Barry, great to hear from you as always. We'll catch up with you again soon. Thanks, man.
See you, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a great week.
That's Barry Svrluga, Washington Post columnist. When we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next.